At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, did you see the clip of, or not the clip, like you might have seen it during the game, of Austin Reeves and Doc?
Austin Rivers and Doc?
Austin Rivers, yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
Austin.
I saw that.
Was that, can you pull that up? Like, yeah. I'm trying to decide on whether that was charming or forced, and I'm not sure. Part of it is because I haven't heard a lot of people say in the past, like particularly like players, say glowing things about Austin Rivers. And watching the clip last night, I was like, oh, like, this is cool. And then I'm like watching, I was like, well, wait, is this, I kind of feel like this is, I can't figure out if this is forced or it's just charming or what it is. But here's Austin and Doc as part of NBC Sports coverage of the game last night.
Doc, you guys are 8-6 on the year.
Doc, that's my name.
Tonight.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, tonight.
I'll give you that.
5-5 over your last 10.
Yeah.
What are some ways that you guys can clean up or maybe improve on tonight to get a win versus the Cavs?
We got to rebound better. We got to foul less. And we got to get to the paint more.
Have you watched on the bench and are you excited about me tonight kind of hovering around your huddles?
You've hovered around me my whole life. So this part will be easy, right? I'm hoping. Don't say anything that you shouldn't say.
And last but not least, most importantly, why couldn't you have gotten me a mid-level contract this summer? And before you finish, I want you to think about the possibilities here. Summer houses in the Hamptons.
Oh, wow.
Ski lodges in Aspen.
No ski.
This could have been ours. Yeah. Actually, I don't even want you to answer. How dare you? Back to you, Maria. Doc.
So,
I had just seen the first clip initially. I didn't see the full video until
okay.
now.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems a little like, let's go through our lines.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it kind of felt forced. It didn't really feel real.
The first part, I thought that was like natural. It's like, oh, Doc's doing a dad joke thing or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, now it's just, they're not even talking about the game. They're just doing little jokes.
Also, like the house in the Hamptons and the ski trips to Aspen. Please find something more unrelatable for like 99.9% of your audience.
Not like you can do that now or anything.
Yeah, that was right, exactly. I saw that and I don't want to be too hard on Austin Rivers, but it was like I don't know how likable he is. But salute. It was fine. He did absolutely nothing wrong in the video. I haven't watched on the bench, to be honest with you. I've only seen him do a couple of media things, but it just sounded so like forced. I don't know. Just me. Got a couple of interesting messages here over on youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Shout out to everybody listening on the radio app, smart speakers, all of that stuff. If you're not familiar, you can watch the show on those platforms I just mentioned and jump in the chatty house, send your thoughts. And especially when I'm solo, you could get immediate time responses. As I was saying during the commercial break, when KC's out, you're the co-host and you could do that multiple ways. One, in the chatty house that I just mentioned. Two, you could hit us on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320. You don't even have to have a crazy trade proposal like TC always does. You could just call, hang out, share your thoughts on the Kings or whatever we're talking about at that moment. Again, it's 916-909-1320. A couple of quick notes. This is just from the last commercial break that I actually think are worth bringing here into the conversation. Man Fastlane asks, Max at the four helps Keegan being at the three, and it opens up the middle for Domantas Sabonis. I actually love that idea. If you recall some of our conversations during Summer League, this was one of the situations that I thought could really, really be helpful for the Sacramento Kings if you're able to play Max next to Domantas Sabonis. James Hamm was the one who really poured some cold water on that, like, hey, not sure that Max is really going to be ready for that. I know we're excited about what we saw in Summer League. I know some of the film that we saw coming out of Stanford. I know it's all positive, but it's still NBA basketball. He's still a second-round pick, and while that option might be there in the future, it may not necessarily be there this year. We've seen Max several times this year, and yeah, James was probably right on that one. And this is one of those situations where if you're not interested in whether the Kings win or lose, like, you don't really care about that. You just want the young guys to be able to get out there and work and develop and maybe see what they have or maybe turn into something. This is one of the ideal situations in my book. Like, seeing Max playing with those two guys in the front court, I think could be absolutely incredible. Puts Keegan at the three. Stretches the floor a lot for Domantas Sabonis. I think it's going to be something really, really interesting to watch. I don't know that Max has shown yet this season. Of course, again, I know the season feels like it's been an eternity. It hasn't. But I don't know that Max has shown yet this season that he could play in big bunches like that, that he could play a long stretch of time, especially with, you know, guys of that caliber. And I imagine in a lineup like that, you're probably going to have, you know, the other two guys on the floor are probably going to be Zach LaVine and Russell Westbrook. Zach LaVine and Dennis Schroeder. Maybe it's DeMar DeRozan at the two with Russell Westbrook or something like that. So there's some scenarios out there. Again, Max, I thought Max was a little bit more pro ready. That's a lie. I thought Max was a lot more pro ready than he actually is. Not down on Maxime Reyneau at all. Still very excited to see how that young man develops in the league over the course of the next handful of years. But this combination of Domas, Max, and Keegan at 5, 4, and 3 is something I would really be excited to see. Jalen asked here on YouTube.com/ESPN1320, what jersey is Keon wearing next year? I don't know. I actually just think it's the Kings. I mean, I don't know. There was something. Because the Kings are getting destroyed left and right, like, and it's funny seeing the Kings getting destroyed when so many Zach Lowe's and Bill Simmons and all of these different people, they predicted that Sacramento would be bad. And it's kind of, I guess it's just part of the game. It's just part of what we do. Like, if I said, hey, this basketball team, if I covered the entire league, if I covered the NBA, and I spent the whole offseason saying, yeah, we're doing our season previews, man, and Team 8, they're going to be a disaster. Their roster doesn't work. They got a first-year head coach. They got a meddling owner. Hey, Scott Perry's pretty good at what he does. He's just not going to be able to turn this thing around, you know, very quick. This basketball team ain't it. I'm telling you right now, in July, this basketball team ain't it. I don't know how much time I'm spending talking about that basketball team when they've shown what I said in July to be accurate. But they stay talking about the Sacramento Kings, and it's because they're a punchline. And that's one of the most, that is the most frustrating thing for me about covering this franchise. It's not just that they're bad. It's not just that they're not talented or can't win game. It's like they're a legit punchline. They're a circus, and they're looked at as such. And they're talking about them this year. And part of it is because, you know, the clock is ticking. We're now within a month of the unofficial start of NBA trade season, you know, that December 15th date. and a lot of teams are talking about, or excuse me, not a lot of teams, a lot of media members are talking about, you know, what this roster looks like and who may be available. And you're hearing terms like fire sale and you know, moving off of the likes of Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan and potentially DeMontis Sabonis. I don't think there's a very good market for Zach LaVine. And I don't think there's this for DeMar DeRozan. And, you know, DeMontis Sabonis is owed A, B, C, and D. But there's always one more mention. And that one more mention is Keon Ellis. And the phrasing that people, that other media members love to use, and this is less pertaining to next year in this upcoming offseason and more pertaining to, like, the trade deadline, is he's a versatile defender on a bargain contract. And we'll know, I think, we'll know the Sacramento Kings' full intentions with Keon Ellis as we start to linger around the trade deadline. Obviously, if they trade him, that tells you the story. Like, he's not a King anymore. That's easy to figure out. They didn't believe in him. But if they don't, I have to believe my original assessment on Keon Ellis and the Sacramento Kings was accurate. And that's both understood where they were this offseason, and the Sacramento Kings have full intention of signing Keon Ellis to a contract that keeps him a King. The thing that's throwing a wrench into that thinking is the way he's played so far this year and the way that Doug has sparingly used him this year. So we'll talk more about that. Again, the phone lines are open for you as always, 916-909-1320. We'll get into the Raiders and Cowboys a little bit last night. Look around the rest of the NFL. Trista Crick's going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We've got some overreactions coming up. Appreciate you so much for being with us. It's Stephen with Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
A good point from our man Zabo last night. Cam Scatterboo was on Raw. On WWE Raw last night, and he played the role well. He played the role well. I thought he shoved Dominic Mysterio, but he shoved the other guy. I don't remember the guy's
name.
There
was a few clips from yesterday's episode that made their way towards my feed, I guess.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, my dad was texting me about yesterday's show, too.
Okay.
I think Roman Reigns came back.
He was gone? He came back again?
Wait, I think he was gone.
Was he?
I haven't been watching. I'm pretty sure he was gone. Either way, Brock Lesnar was there. He came back, I guess, and then Roman Reigns showed up. So I assume Roman Reigns returned, but maybe he's been around.
I had no idea any of this stuff happened. All I saw was I saw a billion Cena clips hit my Instagram feed. Cena in Madison Square Garden. And then I saw Cam Scataboo and his interaction with Dom. And that's the is that still Judgment Day?
Yeah, I thought they broke up too, but I guess not.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I saw Finn, and I think the other guy's name is JD something. And then...
Dolph Ziggler made his return yesterday for the John Cena tournament.
Dolph Ziggler did?
Yeah. Yeah, Ziggler's got it right here.
Really? Was it Dolph Ziggler in like, is he in TNA?
Yeah, I think he's...
Or Impact or whatever it's called?
He's Nick something, I think is his new name.
Oh, man. Well, good for Ziggler.
I might tune in for Survivor.
It's pretty smart, man. It was smart of them to say, oh yeah, people from other companies, because they've clearly had this working relationship with Impact for a while, and it's like they've built it up because there, I think, were rumors out about Edge or Cope or whatever.
I don't think it's Cope anymore.
Or there was one more, Jericho.
Oh,
Chris Jericho was the other one.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen. You seen the workout pictures of Chris Jericho and what he looks like now?
Workout pictures? No.
It was like, yeah, he used to be bigger and now he's not. It's just like, just hang it up, pal.
Oh, Chris.
I don't think those are real abs.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's one of those.
They're not fake, but they just don't. All right.
You're not
60 years old now. Just hang it up.
Nah, I got to look. I mean, let's see. Let's see if I can find it like quickly. Yeah, I don't know that I can find it quickly. I'm gonna type in Chris Jericho. What should I workout? Yeah, I'm not going to be able to find it quick enough.
Oh, there it is.
Did?
Yeah.
There it is.
So you look like Ric Flair now.
Well, I'll give him this. He's lost a lot of weight. He looked like a full-on rock star the last time I saw him. Like, he was a little, and I say rock star because he looked bloated. Like, I don't mean that he drinks too much. Like,
yeah.
You know, some people,
he's got a beer belly.
Yeah, well, not just that, but like his face was really, really round. He looks like he's in great shape.
He's just old now.
Yeah, the Ric Flair comp. That's
what I'm saying. You look great, but like for Ric Flair's age.
Yeah, the Ric Flair comp is on point. I mean, I think this picture says he's 55. All right, like yeah, I'm gonna try to look a little bit better than that at 55, but he looks good. He looks good. Shout out to Chris Jericho, I guess. I don't know. Shout out to John Cena. It appears things are starting to fall into place for that. Like, last night felt like a big deal. Like, I got a lot on my feed as someone who doesn't watch anymore. There was a lot on my feed about his last match on Raw, which I think they brilliantly placed at Madison Square Garden. I thought that was terrific. I had no idea any of the other stuff happened, so... There you have it.
Yeah, I guess Roman Reigns has been filming Street Fighter. That's what Mr. Tapia said. So, yeah, he's been gone again.
Okay. All right. Well,
be gone welcome. For another 5 months after I guess. Survivor Series.
Yeah, I guess. I think some people wish the Raiders would just be gone.
That was horrible. They need to fire Chip Kelly. Should not have a job right now. I know that's harsh, but whatever that first half was just insane. Like, I get your offensive line is horrible, but you can't throw the ball 30 times with Geno Smith and run the ball 2 times with your 6th pick.
There are so many different elements to what the Las Vegas Raiders are doing right now that is awful. And Chip Kelly and that offense is at the forefront. And it'll be interesting to see how the Raiders approach this offseason. It'll be interesting how, I always forget his first name, but Spytek and Tom Brady and how they choose.
Is John Spytek?
Is it John? How they choose to approach this. Geno Smith had 4 rushes yesterday. Ashton Jeanty had 6. He had 6 for 7 yards. That's the 6th overall pick in the draft?
Yeah, I believe it's the 6th overall pick.
That is inexcusable. And we knew going into that game, or we should have known, that, you know, that Cowboys offense, they could light it up. That Cowboys offense could really light it up against a bad defense. And the Las Vegas Raiders, they have a bad defense. And they had moments, or at least a moment, with Max Crosby yesterday where you're like, oh, okay, there's a little something there. I think that's where the strip and the fumble was. One for Max Crosby, the kind of near the beginning of the game. Raiders wind up, and you're in great, I think you're damn near in the red zone at the point that that turnover takes place. And I'm not sure that the Raiders gained a yard. And they wound up kicking that in for three. And it's like, all right.
Well, it's like Chip Kelly.
You kind of just showed us something right there.
Game plan yesterday was, all right, we're just going to quit running the ball because we can't. And the best we'll do is just have GNT run these swing routes and try to check it down to him and get him in open space. But that's all they really did getting him involved.
Yeah, they...
It got to a point yesterday, too. It was like, damn, maybe they need to fire Pete Carroll at the end of the season. You don't do that because that's what...
No, for sure.
Bad franchises do, I think. I mean, you just signed him here. I don't think that's what Tom Brady and Spytek want in their first year, after their first year, but it's really bad.
Yeah, I hear you, but I don't think it's... I hear you. I just don't think it's crazy to go... We can't do this again. We can't run this back with Geno Smith out there. And now you're putting yourself in a position to where you are one of the worst football teams in the NFL, and there's no lottery here. Like you've got the Raiders, you've got the Jets, you've got the Browns, you've got New Orleans and New York. They're all sitting at two wins. I think Cam and the Titans are still sitting at one win.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad thing.
That's a lot of two win football teams. Whereas if I'm the Raiders and I've got my eye on this draft and I'm looking ahead, it's like, oh, how many of these games do we want to win? Like, you went from one to like eight last year.
You have an avenue to bench Geno Smith. Not like he's been good this year. And starting AOC. Oh, we want to see what he's got, sure, but in reality, you're not going to win games with that guy, so like your draft position is going to be just fine if you go to that move.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know what...
Well, they got Kenny Pickett there, too, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett, never mind.
Yeah. It's your boy. Let me look at Geno Smith's money here real quick, because he did sign a deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. It was a short deal. I think it was only 2 years, but what's the impact of next year?
You could always bench him this year, draft a quarterback next, and start out the year with Geno until he stinks up again and you're ready to play the rookie. Unless you're able to just cut him.
It's $18 million in dead cap next season. After next season, you can cut him with no consequence. His contract was as much of a restructure as anything else. It landed him a bunch of front money and... they could move on from it next year if they wanted to. The dead cap is 18.5 if they wanted to get off of that contract, or if they wanted to get off of him as their quarterback. But what a mess. Cowboys just ran circles around them. It was pretty embarrassing.
I told Kyle and James earlier that I have my eye on the Cowboys right now. I don't even know what that means, but I'm kind of just watching.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means maybe they can be in the hunt towards the end of the season. Maybe.
Jesse.
Don't do that. They're like, what? No, don't do that. It's not
Jesse.
A crazy take. It's not a crazy take.
They're is it 4-5-1 now?
4-5-1 or 4-4? Yeah, but it's got to be 4-5-1, I think.
No, it's... Hold on. Let me get it. Yeah, it's 4-5-1. They're 4-5-1 right now.
Maybe I'm doing too much. And maybe it's just the offense. And no, like, I love Quinnen Williams.
You could have ended the sentence there. Yeah. I think I'm doing too much.
I'm doing too much, probably. That offense is just, like I said, the offense is sick. If their defense is a lot better.
Well,
what, are you going to talk me back into it after I just said I was doing too much?
No, I'm not going to talk you back into it. One, let's not forget, this defense is horrible.
Yeah.
This defense is absolutely horrible. The offense has the ability to be electric at times. That is for sure.
I'd say more than at times.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fair. They'd have to jump Carolina as it stands right now. They'd have to jump Carolina.
I'd assume 49ers fans have Carolina losing next Monday.
They'd have to jump Detroit. And then...
All I said was in the hunt, by the way. The graphic. That's all I said.
Okay, you're getting a little defensive.
Well, yeah. Like I got jumped earlier as well.
Well... Okay. This is all for nothing. Maybe they could be in the hunt. But just... Okay, here's what we can do. Let's take a quick...
The fact that you're still entertaining this makes me feel like I'm right.
Well, it's not... It because you know what we said this with what throws everything off is the tie, but let me see if this changes your mind. They've got Philadelphia. This is the next 17 days for the Dallas Cowboys. Philadelphia, Kansas City, the two teams that were in the Super Bowl, and Detroit. Those are the next 17 days. If they go 3-0, you're 100% right.
I don't expect them to, but I'll also ask, do you feel confident about any of those teams coming up? Philly's offense is, and again, I'm not saying the Cowboys are going to go 3-0 or anything like that, just more so looking at those teams now, but Philly's offense just can't get out of their own way for some reason.
Here's the Philly's defense is, yeah, so the team I feel the best about in those three teams is Philadelphia.
Same.
Their defense will shut. I think their defense can shut down Dallas's offense. Dallas's offense will struggle against that Philadelphia Eagles defense. Kansas City, I have no clue what to think about Kansas City.
Kansas City feels like as the weeks go on, it's like Kenny's take earlier in the season is right, where they just don't have it this year and they might just miss the playoffs.
Is it an overreaction to say, okay, so you just said it right there. So we'll play overreaction Tuesday. If I said the Chiefs will miss the playoffs, is that an overreaction?
No, that's not an overreaction. Like at Indianapolis this week, that's damn near a must win for the Chiefs, I think. Like
you can't just keep going
week to week losing these games. Like, oh yeah, they're still like it's going to be mathematically tough at some point.
Yeah, I don't think there's any. Essentially, I think that is a must win for them. Coming up this week, looking at the conference right now, Kansas City.
It's just the team, I think, in that last spot, in that wild card spot, is Jacksonville. It might be.
It is.
You're just not confident in that team at all.
Not at all. That division feels like it's a one-team. That's a one-team division in Jacksonville. Oh. Well, the Jaguars have the Cardinals coming up. They have the Titans coming up, then they have the Colts, then they have the Jets, then they have the Broncos and the Colts. Those three games against the Colts and the Broncos will tell the story of their season because they have two left against Indianapolis and they have two left against Tennessee. The Tennessee ones, that's a one-win team, but those three games, the two against Indianapolis and the one against Denver, that'll tell the story of the Jacksonville Jaguars season because will seven losses, will 10-7 get them in to the playoffs? At some point, Kansas City's going to have to start winning more games than they lose. They've got the Colts coming up. As you mentioned, that's damn near a must win. They've got the Cowboys, as we just mentioned a few minutes ago. Then they've got the Texans, who they are kind of competing for here.
They're right behind on the Chargers. Tiebreaker.
That's right. And then they've got Tennessee, Denver, the second to last week of the season, and they'll end with the Raiders.
This team's not making playoffs.
I don't know if
they are. I don't think they are. That's tough right there.
If they lost against the two best teams that they played, which in my book is Indianapolis and Denver, if Kenny was here, he might fight for Chargers. That puts them and Jacksonville, if Jacksonville loses two of those three, at seven losses. Or, I'm sorry, Jacksonville would have to lose all three of those games That would put both of those teams at 10-7.
Okay, then you got Houston, who's kind of found themselves back at 5-5.
Yeah, Kansas City would have to beat Houston.
We're expecting Baltimore to overtake the Steelers.
And there's the other one. Yeah, there's the other one, Baltimore. Because that feels like a one-team division, too. But
it'll be a one-team division, but if Baltimore does overtake Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's still going to be right around there with Kansas City as far as record goes.
And it really will come down. Like, the Steelers and Ravens haven't played yet.
Yeah, it'll be those two games right there. I mean, Ravens got to handle business elsewhere, but
Ravens still got two against Cincinnati. Joe Burrow's got to be coming back at some point, right?
I think Thanksgiving is whatever, not on Thanksgiving or that but weekend, I think. Or whenever they got the game.
That's prime time versus.
Oh, they do play on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's prime time versus Baltimore.
Yeah, so then I think you not expect him yet, but it's kind of the whispers that he'll be right back at that game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, there's still a lot of races to.
What's that? Is that the Miami Dolphins in force? That leave it alone.
Well, they're there.
I'll check back in a couple weeks.
I mean, if they go undefeated the rest of the way, they're
being
right
a sports
there.
Fan sucks.
Oh, it's not fun.
It's not. I know it's how this fun. Is going to end, but
it's not fun.
We're going to enjoy it.
Is it an overreaction to say that Josh Allen is back at the front of the MVP conversation?
I think so. I don't know why. Like, Josh has been great, but I don't know why you would take it off of Drake May right now or Matt Stafford.
I think I like Stafford a little bit more than Drake May.
I like Jonathan Taylor too, but running backs aren't popular, so.
Yeah, he'll get the consolation.
I think it is an overreaction to say that he'd be the front runner, though, Josh Allen. I'd still go Matt Stafford or Drake May right now.
His numbers don't lend itself towards the MVP, but he did just put up 6 touchdowns. It's a 7-3 team. They could find themselves, as the one seed here in a handful of weeks. It'll be interesting. You mentioned Jonathan Taylor. It'll be interesting if Indianapolis finishes with the one seed in the AFC, you know, beating out New England, beating out Denver, beating out Buffalo. Do they consider Jonathan Taylor a little bit more than they have in the past? Is this the year to do it? Or
he's got 15 touchdowns. Is the
he might break the record.
That's what I'm saying. Is that like total touchdowns or was that rushing that LaDainian Tomlinson had? It was total, right?
No.
As far as just receiving.
No, I think that was rushing touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah, either way, he's
the LT record is LaDainian Tomlinson record is rushing touchdowns.
He's on his way right now. If he gets close to that, I mean that'd be pretty tough not to give him MVP. And yeah, the Colts being number one still.
I wonder if LaDainian Tomlinson won the did he win the MVP that year?
Almost positive he did.
What if the Rams?
Maybe he didn't, because I feel like Sean Alexander is a trivia question for the last running back to win it.
No, Adrian Peterson is the last.
Oh, yeah, he won. Never mind.
But.
Yeah, he did win in 2006.
When was Sean Alexander? 2003? Four,
I think.
Okay. And Adrian Peterson was after both of them.
Yeah. So, yeah, LT in 06, and then Peterson, whatever, he went crazy again.
Colts finished the one seed in the AFC. Rams finished with the one seed in the NFC. We'll say they're both at 3 losses. Is this a Jonathan Taylor, Matt Stafford conversation?
Yeah, I think so. If he continues the pace that he's at.
And you know what might do it? And not again, not that he's not deserving, because he would absolutely be deserving. There could be a certain... By the way, 27-2 right now is his touchdown to interception ratio. 27-2. There could be some level of a lifetime achievement award for Matt Stafford here.
Remember,
too.
We thought he was going to break down because of his
back. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I thought he was done. The way that they were talking,
Well, Sean McVay's like, yeah, guys, he can't move right now.
Yeah. 37 years old. I'm 37 years old right now. 27-2 is his touchdown to interception ratio. For context, the Rams were 10-6 last year. He finished the season at 20-8. More context, the year prior, they were 9-6 in the games that he started. Sorry. In the games that Matt Stafford started, they were 9-6. He was 24-11. He has eclipsed. He hasn't thrown 27 touchdowns since 2021, his first year with the Rams, when he threw 41. He has thrown for 27 or more touchdowns. Again, there's 7 games left in the season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. He's thrown for 27 or more touchdowns 5 times. One of those numbers is 29. Two of those numbers, I'm sorry, are 29. One's 32. He's going to blow past both of those. His highest number is 41, and he did that twice, once in 2011 and then once in the 2021 season that we just mentioned right there.
If he didn't spend the first 12 years of his career in Detroit, we'd probably be having a lot different conversations about Matt Stafford and the quarterback he is all time. Not saying he'd be top three or five or anything like that, but I think he'd just be a lot more respected as an all-time great.
The weird thing about that is, one, he was really good in Detroit. Two,
he's ninth all-time in touchdowns.
It's not as bad as we think it was in Detroit. Like he had a season, his third season he finished 10-6. He had a season where he finished 11-5, couple of 9-7 seasons. It just at the end it was really bad. He was 6-10 as a these are all numbers as a starter. 6-10, 3-4-1, and 5-11. That was the year he got out of there. He's on his way to Los Angeles. 12-5 that first year, and they go off and win the Super Bowl and do what they do. Matt Stafford really has had a solid career, and that's why I wonder if we're talking a top seed here, at worst a two seed. I wonder if we're talking about what sways voters. Obviously, his numbers are incredible, but does the hey man, he's had a hell of a career. Again, I feel like I'm minimizing his season by calling it a lifetime achievement award, but I do feel like, man, 37 years old, he wins his first MVP. It's not unusual to see a 37-year-old quarterback win the MVP, but we've seen Aaron Rodgers do it. Like, but it was like his, you know, third or fourth MVP. You know, we saw Peyton Manning do it, Tom Brady do it, all these other guys do it, but it was like they've already won multiple MVPs. To win your first MVP at the age of 37 would be a pretty incredible accomplishment for Matt Stafford, should that choose to happen. And I absolutely believe that will be a storyline focus going into the final weeks of the season when you start getting the Athletic's big write-up on MVP candidates or ESPN's big write-up on MVP candidates. Because, you know, you've got Drake May. This is a great little turnaround for him. And again, I feel like I'm minimizing it, calling it a great little turnaround. Well, you know, you're... I don't think there's a conversation. We can break down MVPs. I'm taking a quick look. You know, I feel like Sean McVay might be in the Kyle Shanahan category. Mike Vrabel's coach of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right.
I mean.
That or the Colts coach.
Yeah.
Shane Steichen.
I feel like Vrabel will get that nod. Sean Payton can't have it because he's a jerk, but.
That's
yeah, I guess
we'll just make
another
Kevin James movie about that one.
Yeah, that's a good idea. The MVP that was not. That's what we'll call it. But yeah, Mike Vrabel. I guess Shane Steichen is very firmly in that conversation. But no one's going to say Nick Sirianni is coach of the year, and I don't even think Sean McVay is going to get the nod for coach of the year, even if his team winds up finishing with the one seed in the NFC. We're going to come back, man. One more real quick overreaction. And I'm talking playoff-wise. Is it an overreaction if I said the Ravens win the AFC?
Yeah, it's an overreaction after the win that Denver had on Sunday.
Okay. All right. Just asking.
They're there, though, I think.
Broadcast journalist. That's all I'm doing. Trista Crick's going to join us at the top of the hour. Lots of basketball. Trista got into it with Draymond Green. That's a shoot. We'll explain. D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles. Rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
All right, let's get the Elk Grove Kid Talk line. Our man TC here. TC, what's going on, baby?
Man, what's up with my two brothers? Jesse, you in the back, bro. I see Casey ain't in, man. What's up with my boys, though?
We good, baby. We good. What's going on?
Hey, listen, so check it out, bro. I'm at... What I mean by is, I'm at peace of mind, man, what's going on. I see Perry and them cooking. You know, we trying to find these trade ideas and stuff for different players, bro. And I get it. Everybody, you know, everybody wants their two cents in it, including me, though. But everybody going to fan how they going to fan, D-Lo. And am I wrong for that, bro? Kind of, you know, being at a peace and seeing a vision.
I don't want to have to,
you know. That's just truly how I feel, bro. You get what I'm saying? And I came with a trade idea earlier. Mm-hmm. You probably heard it, though. The one I shot. I don't know if I shot that to you and Kenny, though, but I'll run it again. It's the Portland one, but Domas going to Portland for Jeremy. Domas and Carter going to Portland for Jeremy Grant, Chris Murray, and the I can't pronounce his name. The Asian guy, my boy Yang.
I feel like you. Oh yeah, they ain't doing that one, man. They like that dude out there. Trista will tell you in a few minutes that they love that dude out there. They ain't gonna do that one. I don't have no problem with any Kings fan who is pessimistic or optimistic. Like you are absolutely entitled to feel however you want to about this basketball team. Like I know the kind of vocal way of being is like one of the main reasons I stopped using Twitter was because I felt like I had fallen into that trap where I would just tweet negative things. Like if I saw something stupid or if I saw someone, you know, make a bad play or if I saw something like silly, like I would tweet it. Like I didn't feel like I was tweeting positives enough or I don't want to say tweeting like joy or happiness. Like it was just, I felt like it was perpetually negative, which is the trap in social media. So I was just like, man, I'm good. I'm out. Like, I don't need any of this. Like, this is dumb. I have to be better than that. And I think that's just the nature of the different worlds that we live in. I'm sure there are maybe I don't think there. I don't know if there are a lot of optimistic Kings fans. I don't know that that's the right term, but there might be a lot of Kings fans who are just like, it's whatever. We'll see what they do. Yeah, I wish they were better, but like they're not. Like. But yeah, we'll see. I'm willing to give Scott Perry a chance. And then there are other people who are a little bit more demonstrative, like, yo, get this guy out of here. Get this guy out of here. Get this guy out of here. Like, yeah, that's perfectly fine too. I try to find the balance between the two because I certainly understand, you know, everyone's line of thinking. I think it's kind of the area we live in where, you know, Scott Perry hasn't been on the job very long. And we, as Kings fans, we've been around this forever. Like, this is what we know. So we just, like, it's cool, Scott, that you've been on the job for a minute and a half. I've been on the job as a Kings fan for 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, whatever. I've been at this job for a long time, and I keep waiting for for someone to come along and to do your job correctly. And they told me it was going to be Pete D'Alessandro. They told me it was going to be Vlade. They told me it was going to be Monty McNair. And now they're telling me it's going to be you. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity to fail. And that's how I am trying to look at this thing with Scott Perry. I'm going to give you an opportunity to fail. I'm not going to take the presumption of failure. I'm going to give you an opportunity to fail. And I'm going to give Vivek an opportunity to stay out of things. Not for a year, not for 2 years, but I'm going to give Vivek an opportunity to just stay out of business for a long time. And now don't get this twisted, because I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think Vivek is nearly as involved as it's made out to be. Not even remotely close. Especially when you start talking about like draft picks and you start talking about these different little nuanced things. I don't think Vivek is even remotely involved in that stuff. However, I know who was a fan of Zach LaVine. However, I know who was a fan of DeMar DeRozan. And both of those guys are Sacramento Kings. And it falls into that line that a lot of people who cover this basketball team will share. And it's like, yeah, Vivek will cede control until he doesn't. And what I really think happened last offseason when the Sacramento Kings signed DeMar DeRozan was the offseason was going nowhere. The front office, I believe, was attempting to acquire Lauri Markkanen. Somebody, whether it was the front office or ownership, and I think rightfully so, by the way, they put a deadline on this conversation with Utah, because we know how Danny Ainge is. Like, everyone in the league knows how that dude is. Everyone who covers the league knows how that dude is. They put a timeline on it, and when their timeline came and went and they got left on red by Utah, they turned their attentions to DeMar DeRozan, and I believe that was at the behest of one individual. And it was, I gave you an opportunity to land the player that you want. I gave you an opportunity to conduct this free agency the way that you wanted. You weren't able to do it. Now you're going to do it my way, and I want you to go get this player. And that wound up being what happened. And it seemed to have started. I mean, when you kind of run the timeline backwards, it matches up. Like, it felt like this is when things started to change for this franchise. Right? DeMar comes in. Things go the way that they go to start the season. 5-game losing streak. Disastrous game versus Detroit. Mike Brown fired. De'Aaron Fox, no press conference called. De'Aaron Fox, again, who was in charge of this? Your guess is as good as mine. Zach LaVine comes in, and now you're in the situation that you're in. And now all of a sudden, I'm supposed to believe, this is the part where the presumption, I don't want to have the presumption of failure. This is where that part gets really difficult, because it's like, now I'm supposed to believe that there aren't going to be people who interject themselves into what they think the roster construction should look like. And it's not just Vivek. It's the people around Vivek. It might be more so the people around Vivek than Vivek himself. Let's see what Daniel talking about here. 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Daniel, what's up, baby?
How's it going, man?
All good. All good. How are you?
Good, good, man. Good to hear. Hey, I understand that Domas' contract is probably one of the most unmovable contracts in the league right now, just because of how big it is. And I don't, you know, just Domas being who he is. And Keon, right? you know, I know you guys don't think too highly of him, but he plays good defense. I think he's gonna be somebody a team is gonna want around the league. Why not package him in with Domas and get both of them out of here? I don't think Keon's gonna stay. I wouldn't stay if I were Keon. Mm-hmm. He's not being used right. He's not getting his playing time. You know, why kind of wait until he leaves all for nothing? Why not get him out of here now in the trade? Package him in with Domas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daniel, I hear you. I do think here's the one issue with that. If I'm the team, like if you're looking at Keon Ellis as like the sweetener, right? Instead of using a draft pick, you're using Keon Ellis. One, it very much depends on what this organization thinks of Keon Ellis, which I honestly believe is an absolute mystery. I don't know. I felt like this franchise felt a certain way about Keon Ellis when the season started, but the way these first 14 games have gone, I have no clue. And much like I said last year after Summer League, I don't know what Keon has done to reward their confidence. Now, we could make an argument that he needs more playing time. We can make the argument that he needs this and he needs that. Like, I don't know. And it's not that I don't think highly of Keon Ellis. I just don't think I feel the way some other Kings fans do about Keon Ellis. Like, there are times, man, you have got to find minutes for Keon Ellis. Great, man. Why? Tell me why. Oh, he's the team's best perimeter defender. Cool. Can he not commit 4 stupid-ass fouls per game? Can we do that? We have this thing where, oh, man, Keon, oh, and he hits the shots at a 3-point clip. Man, he hits that shot, boy, at a great clip. All right, man. Yeah, he was 0-for-2 in the last game. Like, what happens when that shot's not falling? What is Keon's value to this basketball team? Like, because we've taken this mindset that, like, defense, best perimeter defender, this and that. The low-key, brutal fact about this basketball team is their offense sucks. You've got DeMar going for 20, 25, 6, 7, whatever. Zach LaVine is all over the place. You know, Russell Westbrook's strength isn't, like, necessarily scoring anymore. It's the variety of things that he can do on the basketball floor. Neek isn't a major scorer yet. Malik scoring 16 off of 17 isn't the best, but you need that 16 from him. You need that 15-plus from him on a night-to-night basis, but you often need more from him because you might not be getting enough from Domantas Sabonis that night. Like, this team offensively is terribly so. It's terrible. So if Keon's shot's not falling, what value does his defense have? In fact, what value does Keon Ellis' defense have if he's the only good defender on the floor? Having a good defender is not going to get your basketball team anywhere. That's not Keon's fault at all. But the problem is, if his shot's not falling, he doesn't have a ton of value. Worse, if he's not taking the shot, he doesn't have a lot of value because his defense by himself isn't going to work. One of the 50 frustrating components to what's going on with this basketball team is trying to figure out what Keon Ellis is for this basketball team. Everyone's push notifications are going off because there's another injury. This one's Steph Castle, left hip flexor. He'll be reevaluated in 1 to 2 weeks. This according to Sham Sharani. Steph Castle having a really, really good second season here, but he is the latest player out 1 to 2 weeks. Now you have a situation where the San Antonio Spurs are without Steph Castle, they're without Victor Wembanyama, and of course they've been out without Dylan Harper for the entire season. De'Aaron Fox just made his return not that long ago. So it's the Fox franchise here for the San Antonio Spurs right now, at least for the next 1 to 2 weeks. They're sitting at 9-4. I'm not sure who. I got to imagine San Antonio is out there tonight. Yeah, they host Memphis tonight on NBC. Oh, what a tough break for NBC. Memphis at San Antonio, no Ja, no Wimby, no Castle. Meanwhile, of course, you couldn't have predicted this. Their second game is Phoenix in Portland. Again, you couldn't have predicted this. Meanwhile, you have LeBron James making his debut against the Utah Jazz tonight at the Crypto.com. Tough break for NBC. Tough break for Hoop fans as well. Not a great slate of games. Let me go back to that. What do we got? Golden State at Orlando tonight. Boston at Brooklyn. Detroit at Atlanta. There's a good league pass game for you tonight. Detroit's won 10 in a row. Atlanta 9-5. They've won 5 straight. Those are the 2 longest win streaks in the NBA right now. Oh, let me make sure that that's right. Yeah, no, I take that back. Oklahoma City, they've won 6 in a row. Denver had won, I think, 7 in a row. They lost last night to Chicago. But the 2 longest streaks in the Eastern Conference, Detroit, 10 in a row, man. Good for them. And the Atlanta Hawks, who are sitting at 9-5 without Trae Young, they've won 5 in a row. But that's another one of tonight's games. Memphis to Seattle, as we mentioned. Utah at the Lakers. LeBron James making his debut. And then Phoenix at Portland as an NBC game tonight. 916-909-1320. I feel like TK been forgetting about us recently. And I even texted her this morning. I have to hit her up and see if she's still going to join us. Trista got into it with Draymond Green over the weekend.
I didn't even see that. What happened?
So I think this was on because, you know, TK is like the queen of threads. Like she's like threads for those who remember.
It's when Twitter was going extinct that one weekend.
One of the many times that Twitter was dying. She posted the video of Wimby dunking on Draymond, a dunk that didn't even count, but they're kind of battling. You know, Draymond is pretty physical with him. He's guarding him. Lob goes up. Wimby gets it, dunks, and Wimby just looks down at Draymond. Draymond looks up. Legends got this. Shout out to our people, Legends. They got this. And Draymond's calling him trash and all of these different things. And Trista posted the video.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.